And welcome to a new episode of Be a Fan. We're back as fans of the LCS. We have a lot to talk about, and it's been, you know, in my opinion, a quiet offseason, right? It's been a quiet offseason for you too, Mage.
What do you mean quiet? I mean, there's so much stuff going on. What do you mean quiet? There's drama going on in the community. There's like roster changes and like, I mean, obviously, like speaking solely LCS, like, yeah, meh, I would say it's a little quieter than normal, I guess. But like worldwide, like there's so much stuff going on, bro. There's so much stuff. I don't know if quiet's the word that I would use personally, but yes, I know what you mean.
I am calling this show quiet off season as facetiously as possible because the things just kept happening right as the championship ended. We hear news, we hear rumors, and now rumors have been confirmed. So many things had happened. We will dive into it, but what I do like to share with y'all is some of the fan sentiments. This is a show for the fans, about the fans, and you know, I did a little bit of polling. I think it's illegal to call them engagement farming on Twitter. Don't know what's going on over there, but you know, I've asked some of the people that you might know of, Cubby, the commissioner, some well-known people about what made them a fan, and here are some of the responses. From Cubby, friend of the pod, he says he's been a fan of the LCS since day one. Loved the game, competing when he was playing in high school with friends. Watched Worlds Season 2. Watched LCS qualifiers from his friend's basement. Now, this is a true fandom experience, right? Back in the days when the LCS is not as well known. We have the commissioner chiming in. The LCS didn't even exist yet when he became a fan. That's just crazy. I also got, Raz telling us since the 2012 circuit days, CLG had earliest memories. I remember IEM Worlds where Dig got second to M5. So lots of these people have these beginning experiences. And you and I talked about our experience, how we started getting involved. And really, that's just what it's about, man. It's these memories. It's these starting points that got us hyped. And we continued. We stayed with it. For some people, they made a career out of it. You and I, we are just fans of the broadcast, fans of the players, fans of how the region is unfolding. And of course, we also love the game itself. Been playing. I heard you just got off a little bit of gaming experience just right now before the show.
Yeah, I did. I put together a Clash team for the first time in a little while. It should be pretty good. I've always really enjoyed, like, brief sentiments. I really love Clash. I think it's really cool. I wish it was a little bit, like, better structured, like the way Premier is in Valorant, but, like, I still love doing it all the time as much as I can. I used to play it a lot more, and teams that I've had in the past, like, we've taken it pretty seriously, and, like, our big sentiment towards it is, like, hey, we want to win, but, like most importantly, we want to improve as players, and doing so in, like, a somewhat controlled environment where, like, you have five people and you all trust each other and you can go in, play a game and be like, hey, so like we fucked up here, and like actually talk it through between like five people is like a really good way to improve. Just generally just talking about like, hey, your gameplay here is like we just had a game where like we lost and it's a tough loss, and because like I think it was definitely winnable at points. I know my lane in particular got a little out of hand. I was laning against a very good person who really pushed me. Who really, really pushed me in the laning phase, and I ended up losing lane pretty hard. I was definitely getting gapped a bit, and that definitely led to some of the issues that we had moving on to the later stages of the game. But I won't stick on this for too long. And also, for everyone listening, no, your headset or earbuds or whatever is not broken. My headset is using... I have to use my crappy headset mic because my actual mic stand broke, and I didn't feel like holding the mic next to my face the entire time. So we're using my headset mic. So
yeah, I mean, I feel for you. And so if Turtlehead, if you're listening, we need to send our host a new headset or maybe a new mic if we have like microphones, people sponsoring. We're always looking for sponsors. We'll advertise
for the show. Cool.
All the time. Looking for them. Awesome, awesome. Yeah, so they definitely have a lot of fun, especially with friends, right? When you play with friends and when you play with people that you know well, get to talk and break down the game and just study it a little bit. It puts some kind of bonding over online on a video game that, you know, you don't get elsewhere. And it's also fun sometimes to try out what you see on on the pro play. So we enjoy this game and we love to do nothing but talk about them. And certainly this offseason, they've given us plenty to talk about. We'll start with just some roster moves that's been rumored and now confirmed. C9 was not, slow to, just dissect the team and start figuring things out. They fired or let go or, parted ways. Is that the term? Parted ways with Coach Mithy.
They fucking gave him the boot.
Who the blame falls on. And they didn't stop there. They had replaced their top laner Fudge with a Korean import name. Someone named Thanatos? Is that how you pronounce it? Thanatos?
Yeah, Thanatos.
He is... I can't remember. Which CL team did he play for? Which LCK CL team?
Damwon. Well, D plus Kia, I guess. I'm not going to call them that. I'm going to call them Damwon. Everyone knows that it's Damwon. Like, I'm not even going to bother calling them D plus Kia because I think that's cringe as fuck. But, like, no, yeah. He was playing on Damwon Challengers.
Mm-hmm. Highly coveted, as I heard it. I haven't seen much. I've only heard, like, how other analysts break down his game. The main sentiment being that, is he truly a upgrade or is he more of a side grade with some, good mechanics? Do you know much about him?
I looked at a couple of VODs, like, very briefly. Like, I did not spend a lot of time. I really just kind of skipped through it just so I could get an idea of what this player was kind of all about. I would say, okay, I am going to say this. Mechanically, yeah, sure. He's probably, like, an upgrade to Fudge. Like, he's probably not going to be any worse than Fudge. And it's not that, like, Fudge is, like, even a bad mechanical player. But, like, I don't know. He did, like, it. Yeah, sure. He might just be a better mechanical player. Thanatos might just be better mechanically. But, like, I don't know if that actually solves anything on Cloud9. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my biggest criticism. Because, like, I think, like, me personally, and this is what I've just kind of been pushing, is, like, I personally think the biggest problems were with mid jungle. And I think a lot of the problems did come from the coaching staff. And I think a lot of it, as a lot of people have stated thus far, has been, like, this team really doesn't seem to have much direction or much shot calling, because with the loss of Sven, who has a really good idea of how he wants to play the game, they don't really have that direction that you kind of look for. And changing Fudge to Thanatos does not change the direction of the team and how they're being moved around the map. Or what? Well, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Thanatos is just a shot calling god and he's the greatest IGL in the history of League of Legends. But, like, I don't think that that's necessarily true. I'll stand corrected. I'll fucking eat my shoe if he happens to be, like, the greatest shot caller of all time. But, like, I highly doubt that. So I would say my biggest worry is it might just be a Summit situation where you import this, like, hyped up, super good player from Korea who's, like, really good mechanically and it might shit on a bunch of people in lane and then just fucking leave. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah. I think that's definitely possible. Like, that's my biggest fear. But I'd say, yeah, Thanatos looks like a good player. Like, he's hyped up for a reason. Mechanically, he's very good. He seems to have, like, a really good grasp on the lane. I don't know what it's like to play with the guy. I don't know what it's like being on the team and being on comms with him, seeing what he's saying, what he's doing. Is he directing the team or is he just being left in isolation to win his lane as hard as possible?
And that's the kind of the thought I'm getting. He's probably, like, doesn't demand necessarily demand any attention if he is able to lane kingdom is the top. And so Blabber, it might be freed up maybe half the map a little bit, but it remains to be seen. It's a new player. It's a new cohesion. Now, they brought in Reaper to replace Mithy, not a stranger to C9. He's always been, like, ever since I started watching the LCS, Reaper's been there, and now he's back. Has a very decorated career in the LCS. I didn't think he had as much success, although I think he went to LJL for a couple of years or a couple of split. Did bring the team to international. However, I didn't think his later years in the LCS was remarkable. He had to deal with a lot of player changes and whatnot. From what I heard from how Meteos describe him on the dive, I don't think it's this past week's, but the week before that, it's like, oh, he does it. He knows everyone's best player. He'll let them play. He will work around that player. And I'm thinking to myself, that feels just like what Mithy did. So how is this solving anything? Maybe he's a bit harder. Like, he has that better of a command, but C9 was lacking that voice that Bwipo mentioned, right? They need to, like, rally them up, tell them, no, you play what will help the team, not who you want to play. So I don't know if you have much thought about Reaper in addition to the C9 team.
I mean, I don't really have any strong feelings about it. I don't necessarily think that replacing the head coach with a different head coach is necessarily going to change a lot. I think it's mainly you want just a bigger support staff, like a bigger and more active support staff, I guess, because like, I guess High is a part of it a little bit. And then like, obviously Vhagar V2 is a part of it a little bit, but like, I mean, we see how important it is to have a strong support staff around the main coach to divvy up responsibility so that not everything is being carried on one person's shoulders. Because if you have that mentality of like, if my players say that they want this thing or they're very confident in this thing, then I'm going to give them that thing. It's really easy to just fall into that even more when you don't have people around you who can just stop you and be like, hey, so like, we understand Berserker really likes Lucian, but like, maybe he shouldn't be playing it even if he wants it, right? It's about having that level of like, somebody that like checks and balances is the best way that I can put it. Having a strong sense of checks and balances on a coaching staff, I think, is really important. Having a really good coach, like head coach, is really good too. And I think Reaper is a very good head coach. I also thought Mithy was a very good head coach. It's just a matter of like what you want out of your team. And I mean, we'll see. Maybe Reaper comes back with like a stronger voice and he has a much better idea of like, hey guys, so like, this is what you're doing wrong. And maybe he tells them like, this is what you're doing wrong. This is how you have to change it. Right. Maybe just having another person looking in on the games as closely as a head coach would will change something. But I mean, if I'm being entirely honest, I'm not super optimistic about C9 Summer. I think like these changes are kind of like they're flashy, like they're Band-Aid changes. I still think their primary issues that I've brought up in the past still stand.
Yeah. It will take much more than a head coach and a top lane change for what the issues that they faced in spring. And if they haven't solved that, I don't know, you know, if these moves are more than just names that people are hyped about. So we'll see. I'm definitely heading into the summer split thinking TL is the favorite, FlyQuest is the favorite, you know, and we'll see what happens after that. Other roster changes that we can talk about. Immortals decided to part ways with their coach, who's only been there for a split. Bad teams continue to be bad with bad decision-making. Dignitas also made a coaching change, I believe. Not confirmed with Enyatron. And so they also... Are they the team that's going to rumor to make a top lane change? I heard Licorice might be coming.
Yes, I did see the rumor that Licorice was going to join Dignitas, which I think would be pretty hype. I think that's pretty good. I don't think... I don't know if it necessarily makes Dignitas like a much better team, but it probably gives them just a little bit more stability, if anything else. I think Dignitas did look good. I've ragged on them in the past because I look at them and I think, oh, they're a very fucking slow team. Like, they are very yes. much the classic NA we pick to scale and then we out team fight later because we have the damage for it. Right. I don't know. I mean, Licorice is going to be a welcome addition to any team, really. Like, I think that's the main takeaway. Licorice should be in the fucking league, and because he is, it'll be better for it.
Which, you know, it's one name down, but not right now. We have a couple of names that have no team, like Fudge.
Yo, where the fuck is my boy Spica?
Spica is still teamless.
Bro, where the fuck is this man? I've been hyping Spica up for fucking years, and you're telling me this motherfucker, this Marasaka, is not going to have a fucking team? Nah, that's crazy, bro. That's wild. That's so crazy to me.
And not to mention, he had his best... one of his best split, and then he has no team. That makes no sense to me.
I mean, he's cursed. I guess he's just cursed. Like, I think, I mean, for the past couple of years, Spica was in the league. I always looked at him as like the best, one of the best performing players on a team that just was not good. Because that's how I felt about him on TSM. Where he's just like he was just fucking locked to that team, and that's how he felt in FlyQuest Summer. He's like, this is a really good player, but he's locked on this team that is just not working. And that sucks because you hate to see that happen to somebody who is like very obvious, is really good and very passionate as well.
If a team were to pick him up, though, would he choose any of these teams that actually has opening? Because we're looking at the team with Blabber, with Inspired, with, you know, Umpty.
I listen. I think Immortals should drop Armeo and take Speaker. I'm just saying. Would Speaker play on Immortals? I don't fucking know. But, like, if that opportunity presented itself, I think that would make Immortals a much better team overall. I think a lot of Immortals' issues that I saw, at least in the regular season, did kind of stem from their jungle. And it was really sad to watch it, because I think Armeo's a really good player most of the time, but I think those stage games were not a good showing for him. And maybe it's nerves. Maybe he needs more time somewhere else. But I just think Speaker deserves a team, and I think Immortals was already really good, if I'm being totally honest. I think Immortals was deserving of, like, top half of the league. They obviously kept throwing over and over again, but, like, with a little bit more time, I think they're very, very good. And like I even said in the last pod, is like, I think Ole might have been the best support in the regular season. Like, if I think if B-Boy was the first team All-Pro AD carry, Ole for sure deserved first team All-Pro support.
Well, we've already addressed how Busio is more or less a headache. I mean, a head scratcher of a first team All Pro. Did not make sense and kind of showed up in the playoffs and the finals. Why? So some changes coming along. Again, we don't know if that's going to make any significant difference for Dignitas. It's not going to be a lot of teams vying for, like, if a team were to surprise in the summer, probably maybe Immortals wouldn't finish last place. I don't know. Everything else seems to more or less stay the same. What if Speaker lands back on Shopify? I mean, I know that's TSM. Would that make Shopify a better team?
I think Faker himself would make Shopify a seventh place team. I don't think they're good. I think they're bot lane. Like, I don't know why people were like, yeah, B-Boy's deserving. Like, maybe B-Boy is just the best player on Shopify, but, like, Zazel looked really fucking weak. I hated Insanity's gameplay. He played Sion for like four fucking games, and then just he didn't look particularly impressive on most actual mid lane champions, I should say. I don't know. Shopify is just weird to me because they came into the league and it was like, oh yeah, cool, new team, new org coming into the league. No content, no information. Like, very, like, kind of very lame, just kind of walked in. They didn't make a statement or anything. I guess they did make a statement. Their statement is that, like, we can play Sion mid. And it's just like, okay, dude. Great. I'm really happy you're picking this fucking Sion mid cheese strat to eke out some wins against good teams. But I don't know, man. I don't think they're very competitive. I guess, I mean, the way that I look at it is this, is I think if Speaker joined any of the bottom four teams, it would raise their level. With, like, the exception of, I don't think him joining Dignitas would necessarily raise the level. I think XU has done a really good job. And I think if I considered NRG a bottom four team, I think Contract is still probably going to perform better, if not similarly to how Speaker would perform.
Right.
But I would say, like, I don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think NRG's problem is jungle.
Well, hopefully he lands somewhere and surprises us all. I do think Immortals would be a spicy spot. Armeo is like Zazel. He's the jungle version of Zazel. He's smart. He does well probably in a coaching role. I don't know if he has that mechanical skill to...
He just looks confused. He just looks confused in team fights. Like, I watch his cam. He just looks so confused as to what he's supposed to be doing. He's a very efficient jungler in the fact that, like, he likes farming and he likes his farm. And, like, if he gets enough of it, maybe he'll just carry the game. But, like, holy god, dude, it's really tough to do that on, like, fucking Sejuani and Poppy. Like, I don't know, man. It's a little weird to me, but oof. I don't know.
I don't.
I wouldn't mind Coach Armeo, though.
And he had been in that kind of like that role before. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. The offseason is still going strong. We're going to roll into MSI. But before we get there, the next, I think, confirmation drop, there will be a format change coming into Summer Split for the LCS. Teams are moving. I mean, the whole region is moving to a best of three, which, yay.
Is that, but only is a that round confirmed?
Yes. I mean, Travis Gafford confirmed it.
I mean, he didn't confirm it. He said that there were talks about it, right? Because I know last night on Hotline League they had Mark on, and they were like, "Hey, can you talk on best of three?" He's like, "No, I can't. Like, we're not confirming anything. I don't like." He was basically saying like he can't confirm anything.
Because his video when he first dropped was like he's hearing from sources and like it's likely to happen. I thought that was a confirmation. Okay. Rumored format change. It will become a 2-game day. So I'm guessing Saturday, Sunday would play 2 games. Only a single round robin. They will still have that 2-week break, make room for the the esports event in Saudi Arabia.
I am the stupidest fucking thing in the entire world, but go off.
But that is the what's likely going to or what can most likely happen if they do move to a best of three. So let's talk about it in chunks, then we'll talk about, you know, the different details. Best of three, single round robin. Let's start there. What are your thoughts?
Best of three is, I would say, good in general. I think single round robin is bad for best of three, is my feeling. Because we've talked about best of threes in the past as well, and like the way that I fell on it is I'm not necessarily completely convinced either way. Like, I'm still waiting for somebody to give me a really good argument so that I can fully stand on one side of the fence or not. I would say that a lot of the arguments that people have for and against it are like mostly fraudulent arguments. Like, I don't think they're technically, I don't think they're like, there's a lot of merit to them most of all. Like, one of the biggest arguments that I see for best of threes is like, oh, it's going to be like better and the teams are going to get better because they're playing more games. Like, they're not actually playing more games. Like, they're just playing more games on stage. Like, there's they're still scrimming all the time. They're still doing all their VOD reviews and stuff. And I have the same stance as like Whippo, where it's like, if you need those stage games to improve and tell yourself like what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong, then maybe you don't deserve to be a pro, because you should be able to do that in your practices, because that's what it's literally there for. And then a lot of the arguments against it is like, oh, viewership's going to go down. It's like, our viewership, like, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing overall. I think like our viewership going down for a little bit to increase the quality of the product, because I do think the best of threes would be an increased quality of product. Would probably be better for the longevity of the league. So it's like, I don't know. It's kind of like this double-edged thing where it's like, I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. I don't necessarily care whether or not it's one way or the other. I think seeing more games, especially right now, being that it's a 8-team league, is definitely preferable, because this season felt really fucking fast, and it felt like we really virtually watched no games. I would say for an 8-team league, here in NA, I like best of three right now. Having it be single round robin, that's where it's kind of like, I don't know if that's even really worth it at that point. But like, that's all the time that we have for, because we're just taking these random fucking 2-3 week breaks in the middle of our seasons. So I don't know. I guess that's fine, but I don't know.
I'll touch on that as you reminded me to talk about Mark C's video that dropped this morning to review over this what they learned from the spring split. But overall, I think I sort of follow that same idea that you brought about. Best of three is not going to increase viewership. In fact, it might go down, like you said. Increasing quality, now that one I'm interested in hearing more about you talking about it. But let me finish the thought here. The best of three single round robin really is problematic. It really doesn't, it adds like at most, I think I spoke with Kelsey over Twitter about this, it's maybe like adds 3.5 more games. So you're not really getting a lot more experience or, you know, a lot more games time, stage time there. And at the same time, like you mentioned, scrim should be the way that you get better. Like, that's the better approach. And yet I hear these pros in their interview talking about, oh, how stage is different than scrim. So it may be an NA mentality thing that we, you know, that they think that they perform better and that they're not taking scrim seriously. And that in its of itself can be problematic. And we have a lot of discussions about how scrims, how scrims are used in NA versus the rest of the world. And maybe that's something to look into. Aside from that, what I'm fearful of is that we're now only not getting a good amount of preparation for international, what this hypothetically was supposed to help us with. But we're also getting a dip in viewership. So it's going to end up being a negative and a negative on top of that for the LCS. I don't want to be a doomer. That's just the thought that I have. I'm really more wanting to be more optimistic and seeing how this increases the quality. So let me hear your thoughts about what you are foreseeing with the increase in quality.
Yeah, so I would say what happens is when you move to a best of three format, it creates a level of story in between the two teams because you get to see a lot more adaption. You get to see like quick adaption, right? Because watching your team play 1 week and then waiting for the next week that those two teams play against each other is kind of a long drawn out series of like, hey, did they adapt? Because like speaking from like a Team Liquid perspective, I had to wait like weeks to see if Team Liquid could adapt to NRG's playstyle, which they never could fucking do, it seemed. Because we've lost like almost every single game to NRG in the regular season. I think we've won like two. And it's like two overall, like the past couple of years is what I mean. Like from last year to this year. So it is a matter of like if you get these two teams right next to each other for three games like max, you are giving them the opportunity to, in that moment, adapt to what's happening in these games, which is a really good thing. Because, like, for instance, Shopify would not have won most of their games this season if it was a best of three format. They would have gotten the first game because they cheese picked Sion and then lost the next two. I guarantee you that would have happened because it would have shown how fraudulent this strategy was. And the same thing might have happened to 100 Thieves too. Maybe 100 Thieves, like if they were playing more games like one after another, maybe they get a little bit more exposed earlier on in the season. Which again, I do want to like backtrack a little bit on 100 Thieves because I do think like, yeah, no, they actually performed very well despite the fact that everyone thought they sucked. And I did think they were fraudulent. I still think they were a little fraudulent, but I still thought that they were top half of the league. Let me just leave it at that. But other teams, like certain teams, like particularly like NRG probably would have fallen apart so much earlier. Like, I'm not totally convinced NRG would have even made it to playoffs if they were playing a best of three format. And on the flip side of that, I think Immortals would have made it to playoffs if they were playing a best of three format because they could have looked at their fucking gameplay and been like, hey guys, why do we suck at the mid game? Why are we terrible at this transition? What is going on? Like, right there in the moment, and they can talk about it. Especially against particular teams that are good at certain things in the mid-game, like, traditionally. So I would say, overall, it does add a level of, like, in-the-moment creativity and an interest of, like, the strategy of the game. Which I think that does, overall, increase the quality of the product because you get to see, like, the gears moving in the coach's head. And I think another note is that one of the big things with like viewership, yeah, is probably going to go down overall, but for certain days, for certain teams, that viewership is going to be really high, I would think. If there was a day where it was just like best of three Team Liquid, I was like, okay, I'm watching LCS for like bare minimum, like 2 hours at least. Right. And like, obviously I'm like more than just a Team Liquid fan. I'll watch all of the games, but for somebody who's only a Team Liquid fan and only wants to watch TL games, that is like your average like time watching the stream is going to be probably a little bit higher.
Oh, which, you know, could work well in the favor, because I think that's one of the this measurements or the statistics that they're looking for, how viewers are retained, and that's good for advertisers, sponsors. Sticking. You brought some interesting points to consider, which, you know, leads me to kind of talking a little bit, and definitely I want to validate that, like, that actually makes a lot of sense. If this switch may first see a different type of viewership, a different type of numbers, might not be the most, you know, the numbers that the gaudy quantity that we're looking for, but it could be a good quality, and at the end of the day makes it much they can make a much better product off of this, which leads me to segue into Mark Z's video of Spring Split. You know, you get to watch that. It's very fairly short. What I take away as a fan, I for one thing, I think I'm glad that Mark is the commissioner, because I really do enjoy listening to him, even though the things that he says I still need to tease out. A lot of people are like really, really going into details what he's sharing about viewership and whatnot. I'm not into that, like, to that degree, but I'm just glad that he's the guy to provide us with a report. So his explanation for the two-week break was he wanted the LCS team to be ahead of the patches at all points, right? They want to start early. They get to be the across all regions to be the ones that are playing on the live patch. And also they don't want to end the season too early with their A teams in a double round robin so that they can stretch it out and going into the off season around the time when other regions are also finishing up so that we're not left with this bigger gap, which I can tell, I can see. It's been, April's been very, very quiet in terms of LCS games, and that's with the 2 weeks break in between. But they got to find something to fill that 2 weeks. For this one, we have the what's it called? The Esports World Champion, World Cup or something?
World Cup, yeah. But World also, I just want to say, Mark Z is a fucking liar, and Riot is is just made up of fucking liars, and we all know it. We all know that the primary reason is because they don't want it to overlap with Valorant. They won't fucking say it, but we know that that's true. Every single one of us knows it is true. We all know it because there's no other fucking reason why. And it pushed us onto an Easter final again, despite the fact that John Needham literally said himself that it wasn't optimal and that they wouldn't do it again. So we know that they're just lying to us through their teeth. And like, yeah, it sucks that Mark has to be the mouthpiece for that, because I don't believe that he believes in that. Mm-hmm. I think he probably does want to say like, hey guys, Valorant is more profitable. It's more profitable with North American viewers. We get more viewership there, and we want to make sure that we give them the priority whenever it's their weekend, especially because it's their finals. And it's like, yeah, cool. It's their finals in Madrid. How does that affect the viewership in America? Especially when you were talking about the fact that like North American viewership for LCS and North American, well, and just viewership overall, there isn't a lot of overlap between LCS and Valorant. Like, didn't they go over this whole entire thing that there was like less than, what was it, like 5% viewership overlap between the two games when it came to like game days and stuff? So it's like, it just doesn't make any sense. But like, we all know that that's the reason why. I think that's fraudulent. Like there's definitely other things that you could have done to the format or just given us more games. Like you could have just added like a super week or something in the middle of the split instead, and you would have had enough games to like have everybody play more. Especially because there's only eight teams in the region anymore, so it's like that would have been a really easy fix. And also it would have fixed the other issue, which is like, hey, we're ending on fucking Easter, so it's like if you don't have that 2 week break. And you just have like a week of like a random super week or something that just, I don't know, changed the format around a little bit. We wouldn't have ended on Easter and we wouldn't have this weird 2 week break. And now it's happening again for the Esports World Cup, which is an entirely different can of worms that I think that nobody, not a single fucking one of us should be supporting. But again, that's a completely different conversation.
And that part is where I am. I feel like this is a clear, that part I do dissect, like this clear part where VCT is taking a precedence over League. It's clearly giving more preferential, like, you know, they dictate the schedule, and how the stage is split or you know, shared, as they call it. And that part,
we played in the fucking broom closet, bro. Right. Like, come on. Right. It's like, and my biggest thing is this. I know Valorant is more profitable than League right now in North America. I know that the VCT is way more popular. Like, I'm fully aware of this fact. But it's the fact that Riot pretends that it's not true, or it's Riot pretending that, like, oh no, like, that's not why we're doing these things. Like, just say it, dude. Like, just own it. If they owned it, I wouldn't be nearly as upset. I don't think people would be nearly as upset if they said, like, yeah, no, it's just a better product. We want to focus on it more. Just say it. Just say it. And I promise you, we won't be as salty. When you make those decisions, like, yeah, it's going to suck, but at least, like, you're being straight with us. Like, you're being upfront, and that's what matters.
Yep. That's the part that always gets me, like, can you not speak on two sides of your mouth? Give us a straight up. We don't have to. Stop handling us like kids, right? We can take it. We understand. We don't have to like it, but we have to understand that's this direction they will be going. At the end of the day, I don't think the LCS is going anywhere, and that will continue to be something that we'll be a fan of. So, yeah, well, that is left on the docket of best of three. Outside of that, this quiet offseason also brought in a little drama. I think it's between our, you know, resident favorite Double Diff, and with Monte Cristo. Yeah.
Before we get into the drama stuff, do you want to talk a little bit about Fearless Draft as well, just so that it's like kind of on topic first?
Yes.
Because I know that's another big thing that you wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And like shifting from like format stuff and like split interview and going forwards and then going to drama and then going back to something like that. I think we let's just go right into Fearless. What do you think?
This goes through, yes. So at first, LPL was the one that was rumored to swapping over to Fearless Draft for the summer. Fearless Draft has already been adopted by our Tier 2 league in the NACL, and it was very fun to watch that. So for those who don't know what it is, Fearless is a format first introduced in the LDL, so from the China's developmental league. All champions picked in Game 1 are not allowed to be picked by the same team in Game 2 or 3, I believe for the team that won, right? The team that won won't get to pick their champion again. So it's an auto ban for that team. But the team that lost can pick the champions that were picked by the winning team in Game 1, if that's my correct understanding of it. And then Game 2 will be played. And, you know, whoever wins that round, I guess, if whoever wins that, those champs are not allowed to be played for Game 3. And so forth. That's my understanding of it. So it really introduces a variety of different champions, and players and coaches have to prepare for different all kinds of different comps that they previously they can't default back to the meta. And so it creates a whole big new type of meta. So that's exciting. I would definitely want to watch that in and especially if we're going to the best of three format, because I think it only works if it's best of three.
Best of three or best of five, just a best of series. I mean, other than best of two, I guess, but I guess it would technically work as best of two, but like it's so minute that it doesn't really do anything, I guess. I'm going to say some stuff and I might get hate for it. I think Fearless is a terrible idea. I think it's a horrible idea. No, I do. I think it's a horrible idea. I don't think it looks good in the NACL. I don't think it looks good in other regions. I don't think the LPL is going to adopt it, if I'm being entirely honest, because I think that this format is horrible, because like if you do it in the way that it's set up right now, you're quite literally just trading back the same couple of champions over and over again. Like that, like that's the truth of the matter, is that you're banning the same champions every single game, and then you're going to be trading back the same, like, maybe 5 to 7 champions every single game between the two teams until you get to Game 3, maybe. And then those champions that you banned in Game 1, those are the champions that are going to show up in Game 3. And it's like, that doesn't actually do much. Like, you don't actually see that many more picks, I don't think. Not in reality. And I would also say that like the way that people are like counteracting that is you go into like the true or like the Giga version of Fearless Draft, where it's just like if it gets picked at all, it's banned for the rest of the best of series, which I think is also a horrible choice to make. Because like here's the thing, like you said it, and like this is what I think everyone is just kind of glancing over, is that like, oh, but like you get to see all these cool non-meta things. It's like, okay, but like why do I want to watch that? Why do I want to watch something that's non-meta? A meta exists for a reason, because it is the best available strategy at the moment. Because that is the best, most optimal way to play the game, and that's what I'm watching professional gamers to do. Why would I want to watch them play something less optimal?
That is definitely a valid perspective, because, you know, we want to be the best and we got to prepare for that, and we can't do that when we're just trying out things that seems more fun, right? I'm curious, maybe we should let LPL try it out first and see how that impacts them. I think the overall idea is on the fun side, for the viewer side.
Yeah,
not thinking about like, you know, the game itself.
And that's like the next thing I was going to talk on. It's like, it's great for an entertainment product. And if that's what you want to move the LCS to, if that's what you want to move the LPL to, is to an entertainment product where the competitive integrity of the game doesn't matter as much. Sure. Yeah. Do it. I don't think that matters. Then the points that I bring up don't matter nearly as much. But if you are trying to be the best leagues in the world, if you are trying to be actively competitive on international stages, then the truth of the matter is this: Fearless Draft is bad for adaption in the game. It's bad for getting practices in. It's objectively worse League of Legends. Like, you're objectively playing the game at a suboptimal level because you are banning the things or not available or not having the things available to you that are the most optimal things to play. Counter pick becomes significantly less important. Flex pick becomes significantly less important, because if you pick it once in one lane, you can't pick it again or flex it to another lane in the next game. It's just not something that gets available to you anymore. Something like the Gragas, which is like theoretically flexible in like five, in all five lanes, not necessarily all five roles, but in all five, like in top, jungle, mid, and bot lane, so four lanes, you just get to pick it in one of the lanes. So it's like objectively flex pick become less valuable. And also here's the biggest kicker that I don't think people are really considering. Fearless draft would have to be implemented internationally. Otherwise, there is no way to have this be have any competitive integrity, really, like realistically. Yeah. So it's either you do the flex, the fearless draft that we have implemented right now in NACL, where it's like you're really just flexing the same five to seven champions every single game, or you do like the Giga Flex, which is just objectively worse, League of Legends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can never see LCK adopting this plan, and so making it international or like the standard for all regions, it's not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. Again, lower quality of games, higher entertainment value. Is that the trade-off we want to give?
Theoretically, it's higher entertainment value. I would say theoretically it is, but it also depends on what you value when you watch something, right? Because if you're watching something and like if the entertainment value you get from the product is watching the best players in the world play the game in the best way possible, then obviously your entertainment value is going to be lowered. And I think, and again, I can't speak for the majority of fans, and I know a lot of people in North America have the sentiment of like, oh yeah, North America should be an entertainment product. And like, oh, I want to see more things in the game. And I think we got a little bit of a taste of that. And like, when Azir was global banned, people were like, oh yeah, we're seeing all these cool picks. It's like, we're seeing the cool picks of like Talia. We're seeing like, oh yeah, Talia's way more prevalent. And I was like, yeah, fucking obviously Azir isn't there. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know. I think Fearless is super overrated, and I think maybe like theoretically it could. Here's the way that I look at it. Theoretically, it could make for a better entertainment product, but objectively, it is going to be a worse competitive product.
I'm just more worried it's become like people are seeking novelty and they get tired of it by week two or three or four, maybe, and they're like, eh, it was. It was nice in the beginning, but we're not really, it's not really a sustained, it's like the, I put it akin, was it FlyQuest who tried this or some other team that tried the Janna top in game? It was fun. It was working. People figured that crap out and it's no longer fun. So we shall see. Which reminds me, before we even get to the drama section, should we talk about MSI?
Yeah, sure. We can talk about MSI.
Yeah, MSI. Okay, so the game starts May 1st. It will not be a time when I'm awake. It's like 3 a.m. in the morning, or 4 a.m. if I can count right. but maybe I'll catch the tail end of the second game. Yeah, I think I could be able to catch the second games. So the draws are out. FlyQuest will play against PSG Talon, and T1 will play against Astral Esports. That's the first group. May 2nd, Fnatic will play against GAM Esports. Top Esports will play against Loud. It's so bizarre to see Top Esports here. But in any case, the draw seems to really favor the major regions, which I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily, but it feels like a very chalky play-in stage. So anything from your end, seeing like how the draws unfolded and like how the groups are set up?
Not really. I mean, it looks like it should be at like as expected. It's a bunch of tier two teams playing against a bunch of tier one teams. So like theoretically, it should be a sweep. But like again, there's room for upset, I guess. I don't know exactly where that upset's going to come from. I think the one that everyone's kind of pointing to is PSG Talon was apparently really good. I didn't actually watch any of their games, but apparently they were pretty good. And everyone's like, oh yeah, they're going to shit on FlyQuest. And it's like, okay, guys. All right. If that's what you think, yeah, sure, bro. Like, send it. But like, I don't think that that's true. I don't think that's going to happen. Other than that, it's like, I don't think GAM stands a chance. I think that team, you know, it's, the VCS fucking fell apart. I don't think Gam's going to be making it out of play-ins. Mm-hmm. Loud, like, I watched the CBLOL finals. Loud looks fucking terrible. I'm not going to lie.
Gosh. I thought Payne Route does not look good.
I thought they were going to win that series, too. But, like, I was, like, I don't know how they won, but they did. And, like, Route, who I was impressed with in years previous, did not look very good. Robo, Tin Owens was maybe the best performing player. I don't know. It was not very good overall. And I don't think anyone's expecting T1 to drop a game to EST. I just don't see how that's reasonable to say. Yeah. Like, it should just be just bing, bang, boom, done. Then they're out. And then it's FlyQuest v T1 and then Fnatic versus TES. Like, okay. Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen there.
All right. Oh, man. It's tough for Fly, but, you know, hey, if you didn't want to be here, you should have won, but you didn't. In any case, it'll still be League of Legends for us to watch. I think it's good for the month of May and in between. Excited to see who's going to be in the main stage, like how the games are unfolded there. Definitely, I don't know if it's your sentiment, but, you know, the whole overall sentiment for NA is as long as we beat EU teams, we're good. This is considered success for our tournament.
Sure, if that's what you want to measure success by, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like, sure, that mm-hmm. I mean, my whole thing is this, like, yeah, sure, that would be really cool. I would really like to beat Asia, though. Like, I know that's not realistic. Like, don't get me wrong. I know that that's not realistic. I can't see a single fucking team that either LCK or LPL is sending that I would take either of our teams over. But, like, I don't know, man. That's what I would consider success personally, just beating one of them once. Like, if we beat EU, yeah, sure. It's a wet towel. It's a wet noodle fight, bro. I don't necessarily think I care that much. And, like, even though, like, I would say the only real measure of success there is that, like, okay, yeah, if we beat, like, G2, sure.
G2.
But even G2 looks kind of, like, G2 definitely looks good. They might still be the best team in the West, but, like, they definitely have their moments where they're running it down. So, like, if they just run it down, because I would say the NRG G2 series that everyone likes to talk about is like that just looked like NRG was outplaying G2, right? That didn't look like G2 was throwing. That looked like outplay. If we go into a series against G2 and it looks like they're just running it down in the way that it looked like they were running it down in the finals in the LEC, I'm not gonna feel good about that. Like, I don't know. Like, we shouldn't feel good about that if they're just. If they think that we're so, like, that was the other thing, is that when you look at the LEC finals, a lot of people are like, yeah, G2 just wasn't taking it very seriously. Like, they were doing all these weird things that they didn't actually have to do because they were so confident that they were going to win. And if G2 go into a series against Liquid or against FlyQuest like that, where they're just so confident that they can just beat us anyways, doing these, like chasing for pentakills and drafting really weird and forcing lane swaps when you don't have to force lane swaps, and then they lose because it just looks like they think that they're better than us anyways and they don't care. That doesn't feel good to win against them. So, like, if G2 looks like they're playing really well and we beat them, I'm all for it. Great. That is success. That's great. If we beat Fnatic, I don't think I care as much. I think Fnatic is good, but, like, I don't think they're necessarily that, like, they're not, like, they're not threatening, I guess, is the way that I would put it. They don't seem threatening. And don't get me wrong, Fnatic is my favorite European team. Razork easily makes my top 5 players of all time in terms of, like, how much I like him. Not necessarily his gameplay, but, like, I don't find Fnatic to be particularly threatening. I think Fnatic Liquid would be a really good matchup, personally. I think that would be, like, really fun to watch. But, like, if we're measuring success by, like, oh, yeah, we beat Fnatic, then, like, I don't think that's success. Beating G2? Sure, you can consider that success. Beating any of the Asian teams, that is success, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe not winning finals, maybe not even making it to finals, but beating, like, if FlyQuest beats T1 in play-ins, that's fucking success right there, baby. That's a dub. That's a dub for North America, obviously.
That would be awesome. And I would never say never. I mean, we did beat, well, I say we, North America did beat Invictus Gaming to make it to the finals that one year in MSI. So we can always hope. We can always hope. Looking forward to that. And that will fill our next month's schedule of league games. We get lots more to talk about. So as we turn into our final topic of the evening, I didn't try to pay too much attention. I know kind of what's been happening, but I didn't, you know, dive too much into what was said and whatnot. Why don't you let our listeners know what you know about the whole drama, and then talk about your impression of it.
Yeah, so basically Doublelift did a tier list for MSI teams, which it is very obvious that he was woefully unprepared for, because it's very obvious he did not watch the major regions, and he only watched LCS realistically, and he got called out for it. And, he got called out for it because he was criticizing other people's MSI. He was criticizing, who was it, Cadrel? He was criticizing Cadrel's thing. And also, actually, even before this, there was, like, drama with Doublelift because he didn't know what a fucking lane swap was. Like, he was literally just, like, that was the other thing. Doublelift, like, was going on this whole thing talking about lane swaps and stuff. And he sat there, described the lane swap, and then pointed to a play that was not a lane swap and said, "This is a lane swap." So that was confusing to me, because I thought I had it wrong and that I was just perceiving it wrong. But then other people were like, no, he's wrong.
He's wrong.
Like, he's just wrong right now. It's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm not crazy. That's really good to know. But then obviously, like, I think it was like Dom, like, "I will dominate," obviously, who fucking absolutely despises Doublelift. He was calling him out on this, and it's like, yeah, sure, call him out. That's fair. Like, he's just kind of, I guess he is kind of, like, the way that he put it is lying about things that are happening. It's like, yeah, sure, that's fine. And then, like, the MSI tier listing came out, and, like, this is where, like, the things have kind of exploded, where it's like, Doublelift made an MSI tier list. It's horrible, by the way. It's really bad. Like, he has TES under, like, Fnatic, and it's like, I don't know how you can think that's even possible, but serious. Like, you're obviously just not watching the series. And then he doesn't even I don't think he even has BLG in the same tier as T1 and Gen G.
Are you serious?
Which is, like, insane to me. But yeah, and then he looked at Cadrel's tier list. He was like, "Oh, this is shit." He was like, "Oh no, this is shit. Like, Cadrel's actually, like, a liar. Like, he's getting paid to say these things. Like, he's farming social credit, like, whatever the fuck that means." And it's like this whole ordeal where he's flaming one of the most popular League content creators out there right now for what is objectively a better tier list. And it wasn't even that, like, "Oh yeah, like, this is a bad tier list." It was like, "Yeah, no, he's a fucking idiot and he's being paid to say this." Like, it was super disrespectful what he was saying, like, the way that he was phrasing things. Like, it was obviously he had no respect for what Cadrel was saying. And then Cadrel, who's, like, a really chill dude, like, said absolutely nothing about it. And then Dom released, like, a 20-minute video dissecting what Doublelift was saying and dissecting what he was doing, basically saying, like, yeah, so, like, Doublelift is a bad person. He's insulting Cadrel for no reason, and he is objectively incorrect and or not well informed about anything that he's talking about. And then Cadrel reacted to "I will dominate," reacting to Doublelift reacting to Cadrel's MSI tier.
Oh my gosh. Man, this man just knows how to cause drama. I don't know if that's,
I mean, it sucks.
Relevant or whatnot, but
I mean, it sucks because I love Doublelift. Like, I love watching him. I think he's a really good player. This, though, is insane to me. Like, objectively, like, looking at it from an objective viewpoint, and I know I've said that word a lot tonight, but it's like, you don't know what you're talking about, and it's okay to not know what you're talking about. You're not getting paid to do that, necessarily. You're getting paid to because you're a really good League of Legends player, and you entertain people by being a really good League of Legends player. And yeah, sometimes you farm drama. But no one has ever given Doublelift a lot of credit for having a really strong analytical mind about the game. No one has ever done that. Mechanically, he was really good.
Man, what a shame. What a shame. But I sure hope that this is not, like, the legacy that he's going to leave behind, right? Because, he, like you said, he is LCS, you know, the one of the many faces of LCS. And if we're going to celebrate the LCS of, like, who were the, you know, the original players who you would think of, he would be one of the names. And if this is what he's leaving behind, man, it's going to remind me so much of a certain NFL player that just should have just stayed, like, celebrated his retirement and not say anything.
I saw a tweet that said, Doublelift lived long enough to become the villain. Like, he either die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. He became the villain. That's where he is at right now. That's what it seems like. And, like, the worst part about it is, like, I don't think people realize, how disrespectful he was being. I don't think people really realize, also how bad his MSI tier list was and how bad his take was on lane swaps. Because that was the other thing. Like, the lane swap thing, I could look past. I could look past that overall and be like, yeah, maybe he just made a mistake. That's fine. That happens. But then, like, with this, it's like, oh, okay, so he just actually doesn't know what he's talking about. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty wild to me. And, like, people might point to me and be like, oh, what do you know? You were never a professional player. It's like, I don't have to be a professional player to say, like, hey, you didn't watch the games that everybody else watched when they made this tier list. And if you actually think that Top Esports is underneath Fnatic, then you're a fucking liar or you're stupid. Like, that's just the reality of it. Or you're a fanboy.
All right. Well, Doublelift, we implore you, just chill. Stay quiet. You're still in, can be finishing out your retirement calmly, nicely. You can do your little sideshows, but please, for the love of God, don't stop doing that.
Just shut the fuck up, bro. Just be quiet. All right. Holy shit, dude. You're yapping so much about nothing.
Absolutely. All right, folks. It's been another fantastic episode from the perspective of fans. We're looking forward to hearing from you all too. Next time I will have some more stories of how people became fans from some of the well-known names, and as well as other people that are and interact regularly. If you want to hit me up or hit us up, our Twitter handle is @BeAFanPodcast, my own personal handle @PrimeLOL or BeAFanPrime. It changes so much. Mage, how can people connect with you?
I'm on Twitter under LaughingMageLOL. You'll know that it's me because I'm wearing a Team Liquid jersey. Other than that, we also have a brand new TikTok account for the podcast. TikTok. For all the Zoomers and stuff or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a Zoomer. I'm figuring it out, though. So we'll be uploading that as regularly as we can. We'll probably be taking clips and stuff. And maybe doing even some more content for specifically TikTok outside of the podcast. So stay tuned. You can find that by searching up Be A Fan Podcast or Be A Fan Pod. And that's out on TikTok. And soon, very soon, we're also going to be beginning to upload our podcast to YouTube. So soon they will be available there as well.
Wow. And lots of exciting things happening for us. Stay tuned. Hey. And if you want to tell us your story of how you became a fan or why you're a fan of players, LCS players, LCS region, hit us up. We want to hear from you. We may even want you to be on the show with us. And hey, at times hit us up for some games. We play League. We play Val. I'm getting in there. Iron 3, maybe.
Also, if you want to yell at me on the internet, too, you can do that. If you think that my takes are terrible, if you think that I'm an asshole and that I'm being too negative, go ahead, call me out on Twitter. I'd love that.
Let's go. Let's go, baby. So until next time, guys, be whatever you want to be, but for now, be a fan.